Good evening, everybody. Tonight's Divrei Torah should be the Ilei Nishmas Avram ben Chaim Tzvi, Abraham Gittinstein, whose yahrzeit is this evening, Chaf Gimel Teves. It's a tremendous chus that I have to welcome Rabbi David, a very well-known Rosh Hashiva, Rav, and Mechaber Svarim from Eretz Yisrael. And we wish him continued Siyata D'Shmai in his Avodas HaKodesh. In these parshiyos, we talk a lot about the relationship between Moshe and Aaron. This past Shabbos, we spoke about it a little bit by Shalashudis, but I got many emails and phone calls ever since Shabbos has been over, asking that I repeat it, because many people were not there. So obviously we're always going to add a little bit, but we'll just say over some of the Divrei Agada that we spoke about this past Shabbos. A little Divrei Halacha, a little Divrei Agada. So we have in last week's Parsha an interesting Pasuk, where finally Moshe and Aaron meet back together with each other. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, ran away. That's where he meets his wife, in the house of Yisroel. And Aaron HaKohen is the one who sticks around. He's the one who's stuck in Mitzrayim. He's dealing with Klal Yisrael. So as we know, the Pasuk says, Moshe and Aaron are told that they should get back together. Where do they meet? Lo and behold, they meet up together by Yifkesheyu Behar HaElokim. Moshe and Aaron bump into each other Behar HaElokim. What is Har HaElokim? As we know, that is the Makom HaMikdash. So the Pesukim tell us over there that they meet up at Har HaElokim by Yishaklo, and he gives them a kiss. So some Acharenim are bothered by the Kasha. Don't we know in Shulchan Aruch it says, Hinuchos Tefillah? In Siman Sadi Ches, and it's interesting to note, as we'll see in a couple of minutes, that this halacha is quoted in Hilchos Tefillah, not in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So over there, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Sadi Ches that Aser LaAdam LaNashik Banav HaKtanim BeBeis HaKnesses. A person is not allowed to kiss his young children in the Beis HaKnesses. So the Acharonim say it's not just your young children, it's even adult children. Okay? So you're not allowed to kiss your children in the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Says the Shulchan Aruch, because when a person is in the experience of davening in shul, he's supposed to express a feeling that his only love is geared towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no love that's diffused toward anything else. All of his love is an expression of his love for Hashem. If he's going to go and kiss his children in the middle of shul, that's going to take away from his Avas Hashem. So that's basically what we're told in Shulchan Aruch. Interesting story that I mentioned, I saw in Rabbi Shurkin Sefer, in the Megid Givah Solom, he quotes a story there about Ramosha. My father says he has a hard time believing that it's true. This particular story, he says he thinks is very difficult to understand, but they write there that Ramosha used to kiss his little grandchildren in shul. That's what they say. So they asked Ramosha why, so Ramosha said, no, it's just the halacha is you're not allowed to kiss the children in the middle of davening, but once davening is over, it's not a din in Beis HaKnesses, it's a din in tefillah. So in fact, it's not so crazy to assume that the story might be true, because the Bir Agra in Shulchan Aruch does discuss it. The Bir Agra says he heard B'Shem Chacham Echad, who wanted to distinguish from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch quotes this din in Hilchos Tefillah and not in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Perhaps the Shulchan Aruch is onto something. It's not a din that in shul I'm not allowed to give kisses to other people. It's a din that in the middle of davening I'm not allowed to give kisses to other people. So perhaps that's the pshat in the story with Ramosha, that perhaps Ramosha felt that way. My father thinks that you can't always be medayik in the Shulchan Aruch from where halachas are set up. In the Rambam, he was very careful to put things in specific halachas and specific prakim. He said you find the Shulchan Aruch all over the place, that he's not so careful to put things in particular places. We find halachas that are seemingly misplaced very often in Shulchan Aruch. So perhaps it's not such a diyuk. So that's arguable. But for sure, during davening, one is not allowed to kiss a person. And the Pasha says that even after davening is over, in the whole Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to kiss somebody, because the Beis HaKnesses is something that's set aside for our love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not something that we're supposed to use for anything else. So the question that some Acharonim are bothered with is the following. How is Moshe and Aaron allowed to kiss each other if we know they met up on Har HaElokim? They met up on a place that was a Makom Kadosh. Seemingly, it shouldn't have less of a status than a Beis HaKnesses. So what was the heter to kiss each other? So Rabbi Avadi Yosef, perhaps one answer over here is as follows. Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes in the Tshuva Sicha Bedaz, should be an aliyah for his neshama as well. He writes in the Chelek Dalet, what is the heter? In many Svardasha communities, they have the practice that after a person gets an aliyah, many members of the shul go ahead and kiss his hand. Or on Shabbos, we find, if you've ever been to a Svardasha kehillah, on Shabbos or during the week, people shake the rabbi's hand and they kiss it. They kiss his forehead, something like that. So what is the heter to do so? Don't we know the Shulchan Aruch says a person's not allowed to give kisses in a shul? His Abba is supposed to be toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what's the heter for the Svardim? And we know that this minhag dates back many, many generations. So what's the heter? Zakar Bavad Yosef, the answer is because when the Balabatim are kissing the hand of the rabbi, or the fellow Mispalalim are kissing the hand of a person who got an aliyah, that's not an expression of love to that person. Rather, it's an expression of kavod. It's an expression of respect. And as we know, Rabbi Avadi Yosef quotes that in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like the Rashba. Let's say a person's in the middle of davening, and his Rebbe or his father walks in. So what would you say? Well, maybe I'll tell you that I'm in the middle of davening. I shouldn't respect anyone else outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only my respect for God is supposed to be expressed in the shul. No. The halacha is you're supposed to respect the Rebbe and you're supposed to stand up even though you're in the middle of davening. So too, he borrows that Rashba and he says over here as well that if my Rebbe is in shul and the minig is that you go ahead and you kiss him, that's not an expression of my love to him. That's an expression of my kavod, my respect for him. So in such a case, that would be permissible. And in fact, we encourage that although one is in the middle of davening, he's allowed to go ahead and show kavod to his Rebbe by standing up in the middle. So Shema might be a different story. Shema Esrei, obviously a person wouldn't. But generally, we're talking about the regular parts of tefillah. So, you know, when I told this to Rabbi Feiner, so he said, well, who even notices when anyone walks in the middle of davening? Okay, so halavai, we would be on that madrega. You know, we look forward to getting to that madrega where we don't even notice that somebody walks in, we have such kavana, but for those of us who are actually human beings, and we do notice when people walk in. He faces the tzibur. He doesn't see anything. But, okay, be it as it may. So you'll look in the Maral Diskin on Chumash, the question that was just raised is, what do you mean? Hara Elikim didn't have any Kedusha then? Nothing happened yet. So the Maral Diskin on Chumash points out that he thinks it did have a status of Kedusha. Already from Avraham Avinu, there was Kedusha there. It's an interesting discussion that the Maral Diskin actually has on this week's Parsha. So be it as it may, so that's perhaps one teretz. Aaron and Moshe are brothers. Aaron HaKohen is the older brother, so Moshe Rabbeinu has a chiv kavod to his older brother, Achav HaGadol. So in Mela, the same way Rabbi Avadia justifies the minig to kiss the Rav, that it's not an expression of love, rather it's an expression of kavod, so too, Moshe was allowed to kiss his brother Aaron HaKohen because it was an expression of love, and not it was an expression of honor, and not an expression of love. Similarly, along the same lines, what's the halacha if, let's say, a young child falls down in shul, and he's crying hysterically, so am I allowed to pick up the child and give him a kiss? Or do you say, no, halacha is you're not allowed to kiss him? The answer is, obviously you're allowed to kiss him. Why? Because that also, my kissing of the child is not an expression of my love to him. Rather, I'm just trying to calm him down. So any time where a person is doing something which is not an expression of love in the shul, that would be permissible. So too, we can say that in that case of a young child, that would be mutter. So that's one mahalach. A similar mahalach, but just a little bit nuanced different, goes as follows. My father likes to say over the story about when Rabbi Avram Shapiro, the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Merkaz Harav, came to visit YU many years ago, and Rav Soloveitchik came in late. I don't know if Rabbi David was there. So Rav Soloveitchik apparently came in late to the shir, and the story goes that Rabbi Avram Shapiro stopped the shir in the middle. He walked over and he gave him a kiss on his forehead or on his cheek, something like that. Then he walked back to the podium and he sees everyone staring at him. How you talking? How you allowed to give a kiss in the middle of a smedrish? So he came back to the mic and he said, nobody should wonder why he gave a kiss to the Rav Soloveitchik when he walked in the middle. I'll tell you why. The din is, the Rama says that in Siman Kuf Mem Tes and Ilchus Tefillah we're told that we kiss the Sefer Torah in Shul. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik has a din of a walking Sefer Torah. Memela was mutter for me to kiss him. Okay, beautiful story. So based on that, if you look in the Svarno on last week's Parsha, Vayishak Lo Zok the Svarno, Kiminashik Davar Kadosh. What do you mean? Vayishak Lo Kiminashik Davar Kadosh? What's he getting at? Vayishak Lo is because he's his brother, and I haven't seen him in so many years. The reason why I want to kiss my brother is because I thought he was dead in Midyan. I thought he was killed already, but I didn't know that he got married and he had children. I didn't know that happened. And Moshe Rabbeinu wants to kiss his brother because he thought he was killed in Mitzrayim, and he thinks things are terrible with Aaron. He thinks, who knows what's going on with him. Finally, they meet up. The reason he kisses him is because Kemenashik Chepsa Shal Mitzvah, Kemenashik Davar Kadosh. What do you mean? The reason I'm kissing him is because he's my brother. No. But perhaps what the Svarno is coming to Bavarn here is, like we're saying, that perhaps really there was no heter to kiss his brother, alt's love. The only heter was like a Sefer Torah. That's the only heter to kiss someone in a shul. So therefore over here, the Svarno goes out of his way to point out that Kemenashek Davar Kadosh, the only reason why Moshe Rabbeinu found the heter to kiss his brother Aaron was not because he had such wonderful feelings, gaguim, for his brother. Rather, it was because it was Kemenashek Chepsa Shal Mitzvah. That's what he points out. I saw in the Sefer, the Bad Kodesh, which is by Roberto Pavarsky. It's a beautiful Sefer on Chumash. So he quotes the Svarno and he writes a beautiful insight, takes it a little further. He says that you see the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu. Here you have Moshe Rabbeinu bottled up with emotions. He feels so close to his brother. He feels rikshe alev toward his brother that he missed so much. Yet when he meets up with him, he doesn't have the right to kiss him out's brother. It's an amazing thing. He had to hold back his feelings. He's not allowed to kiss him with rikshe ava. He's not allowed to kiss him because he missed him so much and he loved him. He's only allowed to kiss him in this makom kadosh with feelings of kavod, with feelings of respect, with feelings of chetzah shal mitzvah. So Rabbi Pavarsky points out that you see the Gadlus of Moshe Rabbeinu, that not only does the Torah generally govern our actions, not only does the Torah say to do this mitzvah or not to do this aveira, but the Torah also expects from us that we have to govern over our emotions and our feelings as well, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was expected to do here as well. I have a chavrusa who told me also an interesting daher along those lines. There are many Rishonim who disagree what exactly were the Asara Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. So some Rishonim say that one of the Nisyonos was Sara Imenu died. Okay, that's a terrible Nisayon. He lost his wife. It was unexpected. And then some count an extra Nisayon when he had to buy Maris HaMachpelah. So what kind of Nisayon? What do you mean? When a person loses a relative, part of the challenge is to figure out who's going to give Hespedim and what time you're going to hold the Hespedim and where it's going to be and paying for it. And then going to buy a Makam Kvura, that's part of the challenge. That's part of the Nisayon. So why is that counted as two different Nisyonos? Number one, that Sara Imenu dies. And number two, that now he has to go ahead and buy the Maris HaMachpelah. So some suggest that the Nisayon was that Avraham Avinu was already promised many, many years earlier, Kilecha Etnena, it's going to be yours, and now he finds himself going to negotiate to buy it off these bums off the street. So he could have questioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, what do you mean? Didn't you promise me it's mine? Obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam is not real. So perhaps, that's what some explain, perhaps that was the Nisayon here. From the fact that Avraham Avinu didn't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he went ahead and he bought the Maris HaMachpelah. Ada Chavruso, who suggested as follows, a little differently, I mean, extremely differently, not at all along those lines, but he suggested, I think it's an interesting idea to think about, that you see in the psukim over there that it says Avraham Avinu suffers a tremendous loss. He suffers the loss of his wife. Right after he suffers that loss, that avelos, so we're told, Vayakam Avraham Me'al Pnei Meso. So Avraham Avinu gathers himself, and he gets up Me'al Pnei Meso, Vayidabra El Bnei Ches Lemer. He goes ahead to negotiate with the Bnei Ches. And Bnei Ches look at him as Nasi Elokim. So perhaps that in and of itself was a Nisayon to Avraham Avinu. For a person to maintain his composure, even at a time when he's under terrible distress. He just lost his wife. So you're having a bad day, you go take it out on other people. Right? You had a horrible day, you lost tons of money at work. You had a horrible day, your wife yelled at you, something happened. So the next guy you meet in the street, you yell at him. You don't act like a mensch to him. But no, the Nisayon was that Avraham Avinu was Nasi Elokim. And when he went to negotiate with these guys that were giving him a hard time, the Bnei Ches, he could have been nasty, he could have been grumpy, but no, he talked like a person is supposed to talk. He negotiated like a mensch. He negotiated like Nasi Elokim. Again, we find another example where one of the great Avos HaOlam were able to govern over their own emotions. They were able to maintain their own composure and not get carried away. In Shir HaShirim, the Psukim tell us, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for a bakasha. We say, please treat us like a brother. A little bit strange. What does it mean, mi tencha ka'achli? So Zakta Medrash over there, and many quoted on this week's parsha. The Medrash writes, which kind of brothers are we asking our Kadosh Baruch Hu to be like to us? Says the Medrash, do we want him to be like Cain and Hevel? Is that what we're asking for? Cain goes ahead and kills Hevel. Is that what we want? This is what we're asking for? No, says the Medrash, can't be. Elamai, it must be who? Yitzchak and Yishmael. Also not the closest of brothers. Yishmael's thrown out of the house. Yitzchak goes his way. Yishmael goes his way. It can't be. Says the Medrash, it must be that we're referring to Esav and Yaakov. Esav and Yaakov also can't be. Esav throws Yaakov out of the house. Yaakov steals the brachos from Esav. It can't be what we're asking for. Elamai, it must be the next set of brothers. Who's the next set? Acha Yosef, the Shvatim. Is that what we want? That you should be in a fight and you should kill each other and you should be sold in a shibud and everything? That's what we're asking for? No. Zakh the Medrash, you know what we're asking for? We're asking that the Ribbono Shel Olam, Mi'itencha Ka'achli, the Ribbono Shel Olam should act like us, like the love, like the bond that we find between Moshe and Aaron. And that's what the Medrash ends off, that we find in last week's Parsha, Vayifkesheu Bahara Elokim Vayishaklo, that we're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, be to us like Moshe and Aaron treated each other. Be as respectful to us like Moshe and Aaron were to each other, that each one was pushing ahead the other one. Moshe wanted Aaron, Aaron wanted Moshe. Everyone was always pushing for the other one's agenda, and that was the bakasha, that is the bakasha that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, Mi'itencha Ka'achli. I saw in the Baal Shem Tov, he asks a very interesting insight. He says, don't we know that throughout the rest of Shir HaShirim and in many Ma'amari Chazal, Klal Yisrael is referred to as the husband and wife with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are we asking? We know, right? The Gemara says in Brachos, the Gemara says in Psachim, that Torah Tziva Lana Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov, Al Tikra Marasha Elamu Rasa, that we're married to the Torah, we're married to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what is this? Don't we know that the relationship between a husband and wife is much closer than the relationship between two brothers? So if we already have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as husband and wife, what are we asking for over here, Mi'itencha Ka'achli? Who needs the brotherhood? What do we need that for? So one suggestion could be that some want to say that perhaps the idea is a husband and wife, yes, they're very close, but they can always get divorced. So that relationship can always dissolve. So we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not good enough to be a husband and wife to us. We want brothers. Brothers can't, as much as they might hate each other, they're always going to be brothers. You can't give a get to your brother. So that's perhaps what we're asking. My father once mentioned to me that that's the difference. He said he once heard this pshat. That's the difference. Why do we call someone a bar mitzvah and a bal aveira? Why don't you call them by the same terminology? So he said the answer is as follows. By a person who does a mitzvah, the mitzvah becomes a part of him. A bar, a son, can never get rid of his father. As much as he might hate his father, he might run away to the other side of the world. You're always the son of that person. So that's why we call a bar mitzvah. When a person has the schus to do a mitzvah, to be mekayim a mitzvah, that becomes a part of him. It's like a son, that you can't get rid of it. But a bal aveira, it's just like a husband. Person makes a mistake, a person does something wrong, it doesn't become an intrinsic part of him. You do tshuva, you get rid of it. You can divorce yourself from that aveira. That's what we call someone a bal aveira, but a bar mitzvah. Perhaps that's the idea here as well. But says the Baal Shem Tov, and with this we'll close, he has a better, a more beautiful insight into this pasuk here. Mi yitencha ka'ach lizak de Baal Shem Tov. I'll tell you what it means. He says that we know that the relationship between a husband and wife is supposed to be something that's intimate, something that's private, something that's very discreet. It's not something that they express in public. So we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, yes, we know that we're married to you, we know that we have that close, intimate relationship, but come out and show to the rest of the world like brothers. Mi yitencha ka'achli, two brothers who walk on the street, they're not embarrassed to kiss each other in front of everyone. It's not considered a busha to the family if they're going to go ahead and hold hands in the street. That's the way brothers act, there's no problem. If a husband and wife go in the street and they're going to be all over each other, that's something that we would find to be a little inappropriate. That's what we're asking here. Yes, we know that we have that close connection. We know that we're intimate with you. But mi tencha ka'achli, come out in public. Show the Ummah Sa'alam, show everyone in the world how much you love Klal Yisrael. Don't hide it. Don't keep it in the bedroom. Bring it out le'enei ha'amim. Perhaps we can just add, the Shem Yishmur writes in Parshas Vayigash, an insight from the Arizal. Why is it that we daven tefillah belachash? He says it's very strange. When you have a conversation with someone, you have to talk in a way that they can hear you. So we come to shul, and all of a sudden we start whispering. What kind of business? Zuck to Shem Yishmul from the Arizal, he says, no. When we're in shul, we're in the bedroom. Husband and wife, it's a private relationship. When you're in shul and you're davening tefillah belachash, that's the time for the husband and wife to have a conversation. You don't want everyone to hear that. That's something you keep quiet, you keep private. Then we do the chazaras hashatz, okay, that's different. But he says when a person offers his private tefillahs, that's his time with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's his time to be quiet, to be private with him. So yes, we have this dual relationship. On the one hand, we have the relationship of the Nisuin, we have this relationship of the marriage, and that's something that we keep private. On the other hand, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam that one day, with the Gula Hasidah, he should bring us to that point where it will be mi tencha ka'achli, that he'll show le'enei ha'amim that he has this beautiful relationship with us, and it's something that we won't just hide inside of the Beis HaKnesses. It's something that we'll bring out to everyone to see openly. I wish everyone a wonderful evening.